Hello, everybody. Welcome to the special edition of Off the Cup Podcast, the end of the year edition. It's been so exciting over the last few days with the Padres that we actually had to do an extra podcast. We weren't planning on doing any more until January, but by popular demand, I mean, I'm receiving texts from people saying we have to do a podcast to talk about what's going on with the Padres.
The world needs us, really.
So here we are on Zoom, episode number 28, Padres special edition, along with a little free agency and such and such. Holy smokes.
Unbelievable.
We were texting back and forth over the last couple of days, like trying to figure out who was getting traded and this and that. And when it came down to it, it was really, really interesting what happened. And I can't wait to go over it. But before we jump into Padres, I want to go back about a week and some news that came through. Major League Baseball finally recognized the Negro Leagues as a major league. And I think they were the only people on the planet that hadn't done that yet.
Right.
That's a little disappointing from them, but thank you for finally doing it. That means that all of the major league players, all of the players that were in the Negro Leagues will finally get added to the record books. The only one disappointing thing is Josh Gibson will not be the home run leader because most of his home runs were in unofficial games. But yeah. But they're still going to get on the board. Satchel Paige is going to be in there. Josh Gibson's going to be in there. They're going to be in the record books. They're going to be recognized as major league players. That's pretty exciting, and I'm glad they finally got to it.
Well, it's one of those things where this is the one time we're bringing history forward instead of trying to forget history. We're bringing it together in baseball. I think is only going to help the next generation of ball player to look at the history of the game and go, "Wow, this was amazing."
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm glad that it finally happened, and it's about time. I had no idea that it wasn't even recognized as a major league until they announced that it was, because they were playing Major League Baseball at the same time as Major League Baseball was playing it. They just, for some stupid reason, they weren't allowed to play.
Well, because of segregation, and they didn't want to have, sure it was separate.
Dumb.
But now, it's dumb. So I'm glad they finally woke up and got it taken care of. So
sports are all about winning, and then you need the best players to win. So I'm just glad that they finally recognized it. And so now let's dig into the Padres. The Padres, a couple days ago, Blake Snell rumors started popping up, and then it started digging a little deeper and deeper. And then all of a sudden it happened. The Padres picked up this 28-year-old left-hander Cy Young Award winner from Tampa Bay that pitches four innings a game. And we're hoping we're like all ecstatic, hoping he can go six, right?
Yeah, I mean, is he really a starting pitcher if he comes from Tampa Bay? Isn't he just a long reliever, you know?
So the good news is that the Padres actually were able to pull off the trade. They brought in Blake Snell. He's got 3 years left on his contract. Mm-hmm. They gave up quite a bit in prospects and major league talent. They gave up the worst catcher in baseball and for Francisco Mejia.
No, hey, seriously, say how you feel on that one.
It's true.
It is, yeah. Still make him a closer.
Yeah, they might have to, or a DH. They gave up the number 23 prospect in baseball, and Luis Patino, who we got to see a little bit during the last season. I think he'll fit really well into their four-inning rotation.
Right.
And then catcher prospect Blake Hunt, and the surprise, I think, was Cole Wilcox being included in that deal.
When I saw that thrown in there, it's like, oh, and Cole Wilcox. So you're like, dude, that was our third-round pick this year.
Right, and he was a projected first round pick, everybody was afraid that they couldn't sign him, so he ended up going in the third round. So
that was a shock to me. I saw that and went, oh wow, okay. They kind of, not that they gave up on him, but it was probably one of those deals where we need a little more meat on this bone if you want to get Snell, and you know they give up on Wilcox. So. Yeah, love the fact that we have Snell, Cy Young type pitcher. You drafted this guy in the third round, he's a big hoss that throws hard. That was going to be another piece, but you know, you got to do what you got to do to get that lefty. So,
yeah, a lefty that misses bats, it's pretty hard to come by. So this is, I think this is an A on both sides. I don't know, you know, how you feel about it, but I feel like this is an A for the Padres because they're trying to compete and make it to the World Series. And it's an A to the Rays because they got a pitcher that can plug right into the same spot in the rotation plus depth moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, the very few trades are win-wins. The Tampa Bay way is, you know, well documented that you have to buy in and do this. Snell even said in his interview that, you know, yeah, he goes, I bought in. Didn't mean I have to like it, but I bought in and I understood what they were doing. And now he's, I it's going to be funny the first time he gets to go out in the sixth inning
or yeah,
the seventh inning. He's going to be like, what do I do? Where do I go?
I get to throw pitch number 76? Are you kidding me? I might get to 80?
Third time through? What the hell is this? I don't get it.
Yeah, so the Padres gave up two catchers and two pitchers in this deal.
Yeah.
So really interesting move. I feel like they were trying to get rid of Mejia for a while, and they didn't have any takers, so they finally were able to get him off the books. I mean, watching him try to catch Kirby Yates was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was. I remember texting you while I was going, Yates does not want to throw to him. He doesn't want to pitch to him. Doesn't want no part of it. Yeah. So good for him. You know, maybe he goes over there and gets things straightened out. You know, Wilcox probably become the next Roger Clemens, Patino the next Pedro Martinez, and then we can talk about our two World Series wins with Snell. So hopefully, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and if we're playing against the Rays, if it's Padres versus Rays in the World Series, then that's definitely a win-win, right?
That would be a nice storyline.
Yeah, well, yeah. And especially if all four players from the Rays are playing in the game.
Great. Four All-Stars and a Cy Young. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, to pick up a Cy Young Award winner at 28 years old with 3 years left to on his contract.
Man,
I
mean, AJ's a magician, man. Yeah,
major league talent that's proven is more valuable than prospect talent.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love the quote. It says, prospects are cool, grades are cooler. You know, as much as you want to see those young, you know, electric arms coming through your system, to get a guy like Snell that has competed and dominated at times and been, you know, he's going to step in and dominate. You don't have to worry about him or his makeup. You know exactly what you're getting with him. Patino, you don't know what you're getting yet. Yeah, he throws hard and he's got a wipeout slider if he can throw it for a strike. Wilcox, unproven. Mejia, we've seen it. Hunt, you know, was an up-and-coming guy. But give me Snell. Give me those, you know, in a regular season, give me those 30 starts and let's go win a championship.
Yeah, and I think the only question mark is whether he can give you 30 starts because I think he's – been pretty heavy on the DL too over the last 4 years, so that's gonna be a big thing.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
because I saw him in the World Series, just saw the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's a great
and that's out. That's what you have to do. You have to saw up the Dodgers. You gotta bang with the Dodgers and you gotta pitch with the Dodgers. Well, guess what? Last year they could bang with them. This year they're gonna pitch with them, and the Dodgers can't hit lefties. Well, what do you have in your starting rotation? You got Snell,
yeah,
right? And then hopefully you got Mackenzie Gore and Marjon. You got lefties you can bring at them. So I don't know about you. I'm already thinking in the playoffs, man, I like our matchups against the Dodgers. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, Bellinger? Whatever. Where's Seager? See ya. You know, I got my lefties.
I don't know if I say that about Seager, but, you know, whatever.
I'm fired up, man.
And they haven't re-signed the old man Justin Turner yet either. So on the heels of all of the Blake Snell rumors, like as that's picking up steam, another thing popped in. and that was a Korean shortstop named Kim. I'm not even going to try the first name. Do you know how to pronounce it?
Let's go with Kim. Kim's good.
So they picked this kid up for 4 years, $25 million. He's 25 years old, and he is the fourth shortstop, starting shortstop on the roster behind Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, and Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah. You know, there were teams back in the college days that there were coaches that just recruited left-handed pitchers and shortstop. And then you're like, okay, you're 6'5", you go to first base. You're really fast. Okay, you go to center. You know, you have no arm, but you got great hands, go to second base. You know, and you would build, because your shortstops are typically your best athletes. typically, you know. So if you go in and you're taking, you know, Cronenworth and all these other guys that are shortstops and having them be versatile enough to be successful at other positions, take that in a heartbeat, says the former shortstop.
Yeah, so it looks like at this point they think that Kim can play second base. They know Cronenworth can play second base, and they're going to find out if they can play the outfield as well to give them that super utility because right now they're down to three outfielders with three starting outfielders with Myers, mm-hmm. Grisham, and Pham.
Right. You got Mateo. Mateo can play the outfield, you know.
Still second baseman, you know.
Still second baseman, yeah. But he was an athlete. And so he made some plays in the outfield. I went, dude, this guy's flying. He can absolutely fly. So I know there should be more moves coming, you know. Yeah,
and when you talk about Kim, you're talking about in the Korean League, a 300 plus, 25 homer plus, 100 RBI plus, you know, all-star caliber. Yeah.
Did you see his stolen bases?
Yeah.
Like the dude's flying. Was he 52, 64, something like that?
If he gives you 75% of what he gave in the Korean League, he has to be a starter, right? I mean,
yeah, you can be 320 with, you know, 35 stolen bags.
Even at 275, 15, and 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 no, stolen I'll take bases. That. Yeah, he has to be a starter. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they make their decision on who plays, because right. You've got a guy that was in the rookie of the year running. You got an outfielder who's a veteran in Tommy Pham, but was marred with injuries. But when he came back for the playoffs, was just on fire, on base all the time. They weren't rockets, but he was on base all the time.
Yeah.
And he can't throw. So I'm just wondering if they're hedging their bets on the possibility of a DH becoming back next year with, you know, and possible injuries to Pham.
Yeah. Well, the good part is he's the type of player the Padres are looking for. I mean, you know, the Padres led the league in stolen bases last year,
uh-huh.
which, you know, mind blowing. You're like, what? So when you go and you pick up a guy, he's got to fit that mold now. Reminds me of the Cardinals in the 80s. You know, if you were fast, you played for St. Louis. I mean, because we're going to run on the greatest show on turf and steal a bunch of bags. Today's Padre puts the ball in play, hits it hard, and can run the bases. Every single guy in that lineup, other than Hosmer and Machado, everybody else can run.
Yeah, you know? And not just that. The Padres have more than six major league players playing in the field, right? This puts you at nine true major league players. That means there's a bench player that has major league talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just unheard of for the Padres.
Well, and that's where, you know, look at the teams, the depth. You're like, man, that guy came off the bench and, you know, he's a gold glover or he's a three-time all-star. You're like, how do these teams do this? Well, now you know why or how the Padres are doing it. And AJ Preller, man, you know, he came in with a big splash and didn't work. And everyone went, what the hell are we doing? And he said, let me try this again. And it's been absolutely incredible. Watch my phone blow up going, wait a minute, we did what?
Yeah.
And then, wait, we did what?
Yeah, and this is where you get to the we did what. As the Kim saga was unfolding, another rumor popped in, and that was Yu Darvish to the Padres. The currently 34-year-old will be 35 next season. Last year he was second in the Cy Young voting, perennial all-star World Series guy, unhittable unless he's tipping his pitches and gives up about a bazillion runs.
Right.
And they have him for 3 more years. They made a trade for him and his personal catcher.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Zach Davies, who had a career year. Everybody loved what Davies gave to you last year. Mm-hmm. But you have to take a look and say, is he ever going to be able to do that again? And do you want him pitching in the playoffs? And then 2 minor league outfielders and 2 minor league shortstops as the Padres continue their purge of every outfielder they've ever had in their system. So,
Austin Nola can play the outfield. So let's not, you know.
Yeah. Which brings Campusano a chance to possibly play as the starting catcher.
Right. And that's the other part is the holes that you do have. You have guys in line to take those spots. So I know the first time I saw Castellano, I'm like, this dude's just it looks like an absolute thoroughbred up there. Hits the ball hard. He's got a good arm. So that's going to be an interesting aspect with that combination with the catcher coming over as well. So now you got 3 catchers. You don't have to really worry about that. Veteran, specialty guy, and your rookie should be a nice little dynamic for a Tingler to work with back there. But I just, you know, when you go, you Darvish, and then this other guy, you're like, who the hell is this guy? And then you find out he's his personal catcher.
Yeah. Wasn't that great?
Amazing.
And even better, he can hit. He's not a bad hitter.
It's almost like Billy Bean going, oh, yeah, I'm filling up my soda machines for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll take the personal catcher too. Bring him along.
Yeah. David Justice needs a Coke.
2 bucks. You got to be kidding me. But yeah, when I saw that, they said deep in talks with Yu Darvish. I'm like, he is on fire right now. This is crazy. And then it comes, there it is, bam. And we didn't give up much. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he didn't give up the farm. Those are all guys that were, you know, lower on the ranks. I mean, they're talented guys. There's some young prospects. I mean, 17-year-old shortstop is supposed to be pretty dang good. I mean, he's 4 years away from the bigs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of them, I think he was like over 6 feet tall. Like he's a big dude. That's going to be a masher, they think. But yeah, that's 4 years away at the earliest, right? So
you're trying to win now.
So you bring in the number 2 pitcher in the National League last year to back up the number 1 pitcher in the American League that you brought in the day before. And so now your rotation is looking pretty good. You got rid of one of your starters, which, you know, and then you had Clevinger, who isn't going to pitch this year, but is signed for the next year. And we'll talk about the next year in a minute. But so now you got Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, and Denelson Lamet as your top 3.
That's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good.
So, Hobby, who do you roll with at number 4 next year?
Number 4, I'm going to go with I'm going to split starts. I'm going to go every other with Mackenzie Gore and Marjon. Two lefties. We'll put that in the 4th spot. And then I'm going to go with Paddock in 5.
Okay.
Yeah. And then as Mackenzie Gore gets his innings, and again, this all depends too. We don't even know how long the season's going to be. I mean, it's going to be 100 games. It's 144. They're going to try to get 162 in there. So that's going to be a huge determination. In fact, does Mackenzie Gore start on the major league roster? You know, if you're going 162, okay, you'll probably start down. But they have a minor league, the taxi squad or whatever, get that date and then bring them up the day of and let them start going. But Marjon, Weathers,
there's one other one too that you completely forgot about that's been in the starting rotation in the last 2 years, and that's Joey Lucchese.
And you know what? It's like Lucchese, you know you're going to get five innings, six innings, but you don't know if it's going to be shut out or that you're having this, you know, bang with him. He's so up and down, and yet he still has swing and miss stuff, you know, but then his inconsistency is what, you know, I know is kind of hard to deal with, but he's a gamer though. I mean, he gets after it, but I don't know where he fits moving forward in that rotation, especially, you know, 2 years from now. I don't, where are you going to put him?
Yeah, which is odd because it would seem that he has value. He's a young starting pitcher, but he wasn't included in either one of these trades. And you would think, like, he would be perfect for a Tampa Bay or a rebuilding Cubs because they'll just go in and eat innings. So the Padres see value there because they didn't deal him. Or I'm completely off base and the other teams don't see any value at all. But I couldn't imagine that because, I mean, here's a guy that's pitched in the big leagues for a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, with the way Cincinnati's going, you know, that's a guy that maybe Cincinnati would want to pick up. The guy's going to chew up some innings, got a little bit of, you know, experience. You know, the Giants who are looking for pitching. But, you know, I don't know why you would trade within the division. The Cubs, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, you know, no one – the Cubs, I mean, they let Lester go. They got rid of Darvish. I don't know what direction the Cubs are going.
They're rebuilding. So building off of the Lucchese, right, so that's just another option. So there's so many options right now because, you know, you got Espinoza and blah, blah, blah. Does that take him out of Trevor Bauer?
Well, and see, that's – okay, so – you know, the Padres used to get a lot of slack from not having a big payroll. They, with them bringing on Snell and Darvish, they are now fifth in the big leagues for highest payroll. And to match the Dodgers, who are number one, you've got about $40 million left before you start hitting that tax threshold and all that stuff, which would make you the number one payroll in the big leagues. If Trevor Bauer is asking $35 to $40 million a year, that pretty much closes you out.
Well, it closes everybody out. I don't think anybody pays $35 million for
Trevor. And Bauer. I would love to have Bauer on the staff for $35 million, and he's gonna want, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Are you sure? He's like always said he wanted just to go roll with 1 year deals.
I think he's trying to get his payday right now. 1 year, $17.5 million last year.
Picking the wrong year to try to get your payday.
I know. And that's where I'm like, okay, you know, do you say, hey, look, we'll give you 3 years, $90 million, and see if he takes it and just go, look, that's all we can do because we need some wiggle room. I still got to sign a closer. Unless you got somebody in your farm system or the guy, you're just going to roll with the guys you got now.
So let's talk about that. So I wanted to bring this up because I've been seeing your posts and you're talking about who's the closer. Do we sign Rosenthal? Do we sign Yates? Do we sign, you know? So let me dig into the Padres bullpen that they have right now. Okay. So they have Austin Adams, former closer of the Mariners. Uh-huh. Dan Altavilla, who came in throwing like 98. They have Michael Baez, who throws gas. Uh-huh. Jose Castillo will be back, I believe, the lefty. Anderson Espinoza can come out of the pen throwing 90 plus, 95 plus. The lefty Tim Hill coming down from the side. They could always throw a Morejon in the bullpen back again from the left side throwing 95 plus. They still have Emilio Pagan, who's a closer. They still have Stammen on their 40-man roster, which
right.
They still have Matt Strom, who throws 95 plus. They could always bring Ryan Weathers into the bullpen if he wasn't starting, and they still have Trey Wingenter coming back from his Tommy John, and Drew Pomeranz, who could also be a closer. So, if you roll with those guys, you're not in a bad spot.
No, no, you're not. You're not.
But I mean, if you go get Rosenthal back, or you think Yates can return after his injury to what he was before, even at his old age.
So old. Yeah,
so old. I mean, but you could literally roll with what you have on your 40-man roster and be completely fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the eighth and ninth covered. You can cover the seventh with a guy that throws 98 miles an hour. And if you wanted to be the Rage, you could throw a guy in the sixth that throws 98 miles an hour.
Right.
I mean, that's a little unproven. So, I mean, why do you need to spend the money on that closer? Tell me.
Well, I think the guys got used to having Yates be the guy and Rosenthal be the guy. Pomerantz hasn't had to be the closer. I mean, you've used him as that, but he's not the closer. Pagan, I think, he fits that role. You know, he was hot and then he hurt his arm a little bit and struggled through some stuff and teamed up. Manned up when he had to, which I thought was great. I got no problem him being my closer. And then you got your younger guys that you're talking about. Stroman, Wenner, and, you know, Jim Hill's a great mix there as far as from that lefty submarine stuff. So you've got tons of arms. You've got depth in that bullpen. So the sexy pick is to go get Rosenthal. You know, or bring back Hand at, you know, $8-9 million a year. Or you just say, screw it. We're going to go get Bauer. We're going to give him $30 million a year. We're going to have the most unbelievable starting rotation since, you know, the 90s Braves. You know, so you don't have to go get a closer. You've got guys that can do it.
So
I just like the sexy pick, though.
So here's something that if I was going to sign Bauer, right? I go, hey, I'm getting Bauer. Okay, cool. And I'm going to roll with Gore, Weathers in that five spot, or Lucchese if they don't think those guys are ready, because I have four number ones at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Paddock, sixth inning guy throwing as hard as he can is my thought right there. Trying to revive his career as a closer.
Yeah, and you know, Pomerantz is in the same mold of that. Yeah. And Pomerantz is a starter and he's just cruising, sitting 92. And, you know, and then he kind of disappears. And then next thing you know, he comes back, he's throwing 97, 98. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? Well, he's just going out there and throwing hard. I'm going to do one inning, see ya. And, you know, maybe Paddock's that guy to just come out and go, hey, I'm just going to let it fly for an inning. And, you know, maybe I'll throw in 2 days. Who knows?
Because now he's really your number five, because, you know, Gore or Weathers are going to be your four, right?
Yeah.
And Paddock right now, after the season he had, which wasn't Paddock-like, mm-hmm. and you kind of have to throw the season away. He's probably your number five. He could be your number four. And maybe he bounces back throwing 96, 97 again and getting his pop-ups instead of home mm-hmm. runs. And that's what we're all hoping for. But right now, he's kind of on the outside looking in, especially if they go get another starting pitcher. All right, so give me your thoughts on Paddock as the number four, number five, and coming back this year.
You know, this team's about confidence. And I think with him, you know, he was the sheriff, and he comes out and he dominates. And then he got dinged up, right? You're like, okay, it's, you know, one-time thing. They went out again and he got lit up again. And all of a sudden you start questioning yourself and your abilities and your pitches and maybe, you know, what's going on, and maybe I'm losing it and all my fastballs down. And I don't know if it's, you know, the dead arm he tried to pitch through it, or if there was an injury that of course he doesn't tell anybody about, or if he just had a bruised ego and stopped trusting what he did well. I think this offseason, you know, he's probably training his ass off right now and getting after it. So I think I'm predicting that Paddock is your comeback pitcher, and he goes out there with that confidence and just shoves. You know, is he a guy that's going to be your number four, your number five? I got no problem running him out there. you know, and I just have a short leash. Maybe he goes 4 or 5, 1, 2 times through, and good job, attaboy. And let him build his confidence. You're going to have Darvish and Snell coming in with certain attitudes. Lamet, hopefully, you know, his injury is healed up and he's ready to go. I saw him training. He looked like he's an absolute thoroughbred right now. And then you've got your young guys, your 2 lefties or 3 lefties that you can slide in at the 4 or 5. And then you got Paddock, who was your opening day starter.
Yeah.
You know, last year, that we hope he can come out and pitch this year. So
yeah, if he does, if he's back to where he was 2 years ago, you've got a number 2 in the 4 or 5 spot, or a number 3 in the 4 or 5 spot, yeah. Right? So it's just, yeah, it's insane to think of what the starting pitching could be like, because based on everything we've seen, he seems like the Nolan Ryan type guy that wants to pitch all 9, right?
Yeah.
He wants to go out there and never come off the mound. And and if he returns to that, it's going to be good for the Padres.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, starting pitching depth is what every organization is striving for.
Except Tampa. Except Tampa Bay.
Except for Tampa. And AJ Preller did that in 24 hours. He goes, screw it.
Why else do you have a minor leagues, right? I mean, if the other teams value your minor leaguers enough to trade you 2 potential Cy Young Award winners in the coming year, how do you not make the deal?
Yeah, no, this was, you talk about timing's everything. And AJ Preller just at the right time calls Tampa Bay and goes, all right, what do you want? And then he calls the Cubs and go, hey, you're trying to dump $60 million. Okay, what do you want? And got the okay from ownership and gave you 2 aces.
Yeah, and that's a good point right there. So the okay from ownership. So there was a change of ownership in the Padres over the last couple months, where Ron Fowler is no longer a majority owner of the team. I think it fell to Peter Seidler. I wonder if that made a huge difference in whether or not they could go out and make these trades.
Yeah. Well, when you really look at it, you're in the National League West. Who wins the National League West every year? The Dodgers. 8 straight years they've won it. So who are you competing against? You're not trying to win a World Series. You're trying to beat the Dodgers, because they're going to be the roadblock and the speed bump. No matter what direction you're going, you've got to beat the Dodgers. And, you know, this year, one swing changed that whole series. And then one ground ball changed the whole series.
One catch.
And you're legitimately 2 plays away from being in a World Series.
All it took was close. Go up over the fence and make the catch.
Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, we're close. And then you get to where, you know, you lose your number 1, your number 2, and you're out there rolling out your number 3 and 4 trying to beat the Dodgers, and that's not going to work.
And you were still
not on a consistent basis. Oh, you're competitive. Yeah, you know, it was a good fight. I mean, we did okay. Well, that's not where ownership's at now.
Yep, points for second place.
That's where ownership's like, screw this. We don't have a championship. I want a championship. I don't care what I got to do. AJ, go get me a championship team. And he struck gold with Tatis in the James Shields trade. You signed Hosmer. You had Myers long-term. You got Machado. And now you're putting together a pitching staff that is absolutely legit. And I know people are just chomping at the bit to get the season started.
I know. And hopefully it does.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully it gets started. Hopefully spring training actually starts and the season starts on time, because we want to watch baseball. Even if it's not in the stands in California, we still want to watch the games.
Yeah, let's go. Especially now, let's go.
Let's go. So just to recap, for those of you not paying attention, the Padres traded for Blake Snell. They signed one of the best players in Korea, who steals bases, hits home runs, and hits for an average. And they traded for Yu Darvish and his personal catcher. So they could hopefully...
24-hour period when he did that. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it was unbelievable. Fun time. It reminded me of the offseason that blew up on them as you talked about earlier. And I'm just really hoping that this one doesn't blow up. But the thing is right now they're in a position that even, let's say, God forbid, Blake Snell and Yu Darvish get hurt, they have enough young talent to fill in the blanks while they're out. And that's what they didn't have before. They didn't have anybody to replace any players that got hurt or didn't start off strong when they signed all those free agents and made all those big trades, you know, a few years back, and it backfired. Now they have the talent to overcome an injury and the depth to overcome an injury. So I think it's going to be amazing to watch this season. I can't wait for it.
No, they're set up way better. And you're adding, it's pitching, and your starting lineup is solid. You know, your lineup's solid. Your team hits, you just need to throw it now. And so going into 2021, you got a pretty good rotation, and then they even add more to it. Wait till 2022 when you've got
Clevinger comes back.
Clevinger back, and you know, and another year of Gore and Weathers and Rahone, and who knows what's going to go on with Paddock, and you know, now Snell's got a full year in San Diego where he's suddenly, you know, untouchable, and then Darvish is just the veteran going up there throwing the ball that you can't throw straight, and you're like, this. Oh wait, we still have till 2023 with the entire same rotation.
Yeah, I think the only person
Padres have never had that depth.
Yeah, and the only person you could possibly lose in that time, I think, are Tommy Pham and Eric Hosmer. I think Hosmer could opt out.
Yeah. I think Meyer's contract and Hosmer's contract, and Pham. I think you'll be able to. Well, hopefully, you've got some position players still coming up. I know they do. To take that, but you know, Pham's a huge part of the mentality of this team, which again the Padres haven't had since Caminiti and Vaughn back in '98. That just they took over the team. Pham does that. Pham is that focal point, and he's that vocal guy. Where Machado doesn't have to be that guy. Tatis is just out there, like a kid in the playground. Hosmer's doing his work. And the other guys are proving themselves. So when you've got that kind of competition / having fun, to quote Snell, swaggy team, that's what you want to play for.
And
to be excited, it's a legitimate excitement this year.
Right, and you still have Jorge Oña, and you have Campuzano, and I mean, you got guys coming that are supposed to be legit, and that's why the Padres could trade all of their outfielders and all of their shortstops, because they don't really need them anymore.
You pretty much set up.
Just restock, because they'll just restock like they've been doing. They'll just keep restocking and keep trading and keep building, and they're putting themselves on pace to be successful for, at least 4 or 5 years, and hopefully longer. And that's something that we've never seen. I at least haven't seen anything close to it since 97, 98.
Well, the common thread is, trust the process. We're rebuilding mode. We're 2 years away. Well, we've been doing that for 10 years. Now is, look, this is what we're doing. This is what we built. We're going to add one or two more pieces, and then we're going to get after it. So the rebuild's over. The reimagining of the organization's over. It is now time to go play and go win. And that's where ownership and the GM are like, okay, here's the pieces. Tingler, take care of it. Yeah, I posted that meme about what's on your wish list. And he goes, I want arms to win the World Series. Okay, here you go. Here's one. Here's another one. What else can I do for you? So it is a legitimate excitement, and it's deserved, because the Padres are now the most sought after. You want to play for the Padres.
Yeah, you think they'll sign Roger Clemens to a 1-year contract, bring him back all juiced up, ready to roll?
You know, if you're going for the entertainment value, you got to go Bartolo Colon just there for the heck of it.
It's just so you bombs. Can watch him hit. You just got to watch him hit.
Of Petco.
All right. So I think you had an off the cup question you wanted to roll out.
Oh, yeah. Off the cup. Can you name the top five payrolls?
I'm going to go. I'm going to go. So you already gave me one, so I know the Padres are number five.
Yes, Padres are number five.
So Dodgers and Yankees are one and two, right?
Yes.
And then if it was a normal year, I would say the Red Sox and the Cubs would be three and four.
Okay, got the Red Sox at four. The mysterious number three, which I looked at and went, you're kidding, because they haven't done nothing. But they're number
Angels?
Three.
Angels?
Angels.
Yeah. Mike Trout and Albert Pujols.
$152 million.
Yeah, it's Trout and Pujols, but isn't Pujols coming off the books?
Don't forget Rendon.
Oh, Rendon, too.
Don't forget Ohtani.
Oh!
Yeah.
Gosh, the season's been over for a while. I'm forgetting everybody.
Yeah, I know, right? So they're number three. So two was the Yankees at 161, and the Dodgers are number one with 172 million. The Red Sox are at 127, but they still carried over some money. So and the Padres are sitting at 143 million, just above the Astros. So
how do they even can think about signing Justin Turner back with that payroll?
Well, I would not re-sign Turner if I'm going to bring back Kiki Hernandez. But Kiki Hernandez is a free agent.
He's gone, man. He's all excited about playing every day.
Yeah, and you know, teams are popping up are like the Red Sox. I mean, and the Red Sox got money. They got all their contracts. They, you know, Mookie and Price and all those guys are done. So they've got money, and they're the Red Sox. It's really going to be interesting to see what some of these other teams are going to do.
They already made their big signing. They signed Hunter Renfroe. So they don't need anybody else.
Who is going to absolutely beat up that wall. I'm telling you. Him and, I mean, that outfield right now, if they bring back Jackie Bradley Jr., is that, I'll give me that outfield. Give me Renfroe, Bradley, and
I just play Renfroe against lefties and watch him hit 30 home runs against only lefties.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's going to absolutely love Boston. And that's a cheap deal for them. Maybe $3 million a year for a power hitting right hand guy. Yeah. He's going to be swinging and miss guy, but who knows, you know, maybe hang out with David Ortiz or, you know, a few conversations with Ben Attendee on what we're trying to do here. I mean, that's a nice little pickup for the Red Sox. I like that.
Well, he's a plus defender. He's one of the best outfielders in the game. Yeah. You wouldn't see it looking at him, but he's one of the best outfielders in the game.
You stick him in a right field, you know, pretty good company.
I don't know if he's playing left field. Boston. If he's playing left field, he's throwing somebody out at first base.
He might. He's got an absolute cannon.
Uh-huh.
That would be crazy. Off the wall, throw to first, got him
back door. He rounds wide, back door, first base out.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, you know, it's you look at the payrolls and you go, you know what, this is what championship teams do. You know, I know Tampa Bay has a low payroll and all that stuff. Did they win it? No, they didn't.
Came in second.
You know, yeah. And it's like you got to spend the money, and you're trying to, you know, hit it rich and you know, not spend a lot of money and win a championship so you profit a whole bunch. Well, that hasn't worked ever. The years that the Padres have been good, they went out and signed, you know, free agent Greg Vaughn. They made the seven player trade and brought in Caminiti and Ashby and Finley and Osmus, you know, made the trade for Fred McGriff and Tony Fernandez. I mean, they went out and they spent money and they won. And then they cleaned house, fire sale, and all of a sudden you're back to, you know, fourth, fifth place finish and watch the Dodgers win the, you know, another division title. And so now you've built a ball club, you're spending the money, you're gonna make that money back. And you know, I hope the state of California opens up the damn stadium and lets people go out and watch this game and watch this team. It's going to be unbelievable on a daily basis watching this team play.
So during your comments, you reminded me of a cup check I wanted to do with Hoppy.
Cup check.
A cup check. All right. Cup check. This is going back to Tony Fernandez. All right. Uh-huh. How do you think Tony Fernandez would have done as a pitcher? Remember watching him throw and how,
oh, yeah, it's just
how his ball it whoa, curved like 30 whoa, feet all the way to first base, like in a big giant loop.
Yep, just snaked how it over there.
From a baseball scout's opinion, with all that movement, could he have been a pitcher?
Sure. In the 14th inning on the fourth day of a road trip, and you, I mean, don't want
82 miles an hour with 3 feet of movement from 90 feet away.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking the best comparison would be Tim Hill from the left side.
Yeah.
But he'd be 82 instead of 90.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Tony Fernandez, he just got it during time every time. He was that good. He's not making close this time.
I was just wondering, he had like pinpoint control and his ball moved so much. I wonder if he could have struck people out or got him off balance.
Yeah. Probably would have, you know, he'd probably get through an inning, you know, but yeah, no, he was one of those guys that drove me crazy because, you know, I had a good arm and I wanted to see that arm and he just get it and just wrist flip it, you know,
got you by 3 inches.
Okay. Yeah. Every play was close, but he got me out
every time. 3 inches.
Every time. Go glove.
Half a step. Every time the guy's out by a half a step.
Yeah. Definitely made ground balls in the infield worth watching.
Yeah. And everybody ran hard and they were all out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. That's a hypothetical I've always wanted to ask you.
No, Tony Fernandez, he was legit, man. I loved watching him field. He had great hands and, you know, he came over from Toronto and you're like, who's this guy? And then you watched him play, man, he was silky smooth. Absolutely loved watching him field the ball. Hated watching him throw it. Loved watching him feel it.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. What a podcast. The Padres forcing us into episode 28 at the end of 2020. We're going to start 2021 at number 29.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that hat. Looks pretty good on you.
Yeah, it's red and white.
Yeah. Digging it.
Indiana, rest baby.
Go Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
I might have to buy a whole bunch of Hoosier stuff.
Oh, you want some?
Let's do it. So, God, honestly, can't wait for 2020. Just get out of here.
Yeah, it's got to get over. Yep. We got to move to 2021. We got to get everybody vaccinated and we got to get out and live our lives again.
Let's do it. Let's just do it. Whew. Over it.
Yeah.
The only good thing about 2020 was this podcast. I'll tell you that. Going global.
So we decided to throw this podcast out there because we had nothing to do and we're all stuck at home and wanted to provide a service and have a little fun. And man, it's been pretty successful across our 28 episodes. I mean, if you can go
global, you know, going global in the first year, it's going to be awesome.
Next year, I'm hoping to pop out about 40 of these suckers.
Let's do it.
Yeah, maybe we get about 40 next year. And I'm refusing to do the seasons, so we're just going to keep on with season one forever.
Season one, episode 700.
That's the goal. That's the goal. That's great. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. I can't wait to get back in person and be in the same room and mess up the Facebook Live and not be able to hear us. It's going to be so exciting. I can't wait. All right, man. What time is it?
It's 10:50. Have to be three.
I'm not gonna. I keep asking you this question every week, and you keep laughing about it. I don't know why.
Oh, I guess it's time to sign off with that one there, folks. We're out of here.